Hello everyone, Roger Pipe from RogReviews.com here. Welcome to part 3 of our XRCO nomination podcast series. Check out the first two on the site, or I put a couple of them up on YouTube with some eye candy slides for you to enjoy. The first two went over the nominations. This one we're actually going to talk specifically about the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame was nominated this week. If you'd like to check out who got in, you can go to xrco.com. The first link is to the press release about the Hall of Fame inductions. By the way, since we are unsponsored, you can check out pipelinemultimedia.com for all of your adult and mainstream PR needs. That's who did the press release. That's what we're reading here. This year's class includes two... I don't know how we classify them. They're classified as special awards by the XRCO, but I'm going to call them, company pillars. Also, a fifth estate and a special award for a couple of internet giants, three performers, one as a film pioneer and two as actresses, and two directors. So a class of nine. I'm going to kind of break them up a little bit. I don't usually script or really plan these things out. I try and keep them fairly free-flowing, so sometimes they get a little wandery. So forgive me, but I will try and focus a little bit on going over the categories of nominees and then looking at maybe some people who should be considered next year. As a general rule, and by the way, you can visit RogReviews.com for more on this and all of your porn review and interview and news needs. Thank you very much. That's my commercial. Anytime we have something like award nomination, or especially Hall of Fame, anything that I say should not be taken as an indictment on people who are in, who are elected, who are nominated, who are put in. Absolutely, I think people who have this kind of honor should be celebrated, and that's what this podcast is. We're going to celebrate these people. Now, I am going to compare it to the AVN class and see what you guys think, and I will talk about some people who I think may have been overlooked, but that is to emphasize their qualifications, not take away from the people who are in. I think I've sort of covered myself there, and I say that, and it's a little personal, because I am in the XRCO Hall of Fame. It is professionally one of, if not the greatest accomplishments, moments of my 20 plus years in this business. I was fortunate enough to get the call from a friend of mine, April Storm, who is a great publicist and a great friend in this industry. And it was a great day for me, and getting to go up on stage and be recognized by my peers was a highlight. And over the years, having heard certain people say, you know, you don't deserve to be there, or you don't belong here, it's bullshit. It's petty, jealous bullshit, and I'll never engage in it. So I want to welcome with open arms the people who get in and celebrate what they've done. Absolutely. Then, when we're done with that, I'm going to talk about some other people who I think should probably be in as well. Okay? starting with the special awards, the sort of pillars of companies, Steve Orenstein and Steve Hirsch from Wicked and Vivid, respectively, going as special awards. The adult feature landscape was dominated by these two companies, and therefore these two men. And what they created and what they built and what they maintained is absolutely amazing. Vivid from the mid-80s, the early contract star system with Ginger Lynn, on through several different iterations. Wicked starting a little later than that, helping to build on the back of Jenna Jameson, an empire that is still strong today in a shrinking porn feature landscape. Wicked is still the dominant player. I think I'm a little surprised these two gentlemen are not already in the XRCO Hall of Fame, because they're just remarkable. Their accomplishments are remarkable. And I don't think there's any doubt that these two gentlemen deserve this award. taking a look at, well, we'll do that later. Take a look at some of the other people who are in, who are similar. But I think that when it comes to feature brands, Wicked and Vivid were the biggest, probably the biggest of all times. Now, at the same time these empires were growing, you had Evil Angel and John Stagliano, you had Anabolic, you had other Gonzo-type companies becoming, you know, dominant. But when it comes to features and when it comes to stars and star systems and contract stars, Vivid and Wicked, I think, deserve every bit of praise. And these two men are fantastic, and congratulations. The actresses. Constance Monet goes in this film Pioneer. She did 27 movies, which, when you think about it, in terms of how much or how little they did in terms of number of titles compared to now, is remarkable. She did 27 over an 8-year span. Ginger Lynn, before her comeback, famously did 69 movies as the dominant star of her era in the mid-80s. That, to me, is remarkable. How much more product there is today. But I think someone like Constance, who was gorgeous, and came a little before my time. Her performing career ended in 85, about the time I started watching. I'm very aware, though, opening of Mr. Beethoven and Barbara Broadcast are two absolute classic movies. Both of them are in the Hall of Fame, by the way, those two films. So it, I think it's fitting that its star is also in. So congratulations to her. I think it gets harder as you try and reach back to some of these classic classic performers. It does get harder to find those who are not already nominated. Again, we'll go over some of those later. The other two performers are more recent. Brianna Banks, who was one of the girls who came from the Wicked contract system. One of the rare Vivid contract girls who also shot for Max Hardcore. Yeah, you can look that up as Mirage. Brianna Banks did shoot a couple of scenes for Max as a very thin, really young girl. I'm doing the press release and looking and realizing she's only 36, having been out of the business for 5 years and in it for a dozen before that. She really has had a very long career at a very young age. She is back now. I've got the movie here to review, her comeback movie, True MILF 3 from Archangel. Looking forward to that one. Also because it has Katie Morgan, who's super hot, and Kendra Lust. But Brianna is back and in the Hall of Fame. And I do think someone's availability to the industry does help their Hall of Fame credentials. We'll take a look at some stars who we may want to consider as well. The third performer, the one I'm going to talk probably the most about, is Hilary Scott. Compare her to Constance Monet, who did 27 movies from 75 to 83. Hilary Scott, in a shorter time period, did over 670 movies. Now, of course, a lot of those are going to be compilations and such, but still, tremendous volume. She was very cute, very well received by critics and fans, and is in the Hall of Fame for a lot of reasons. She has one accomplishment, though, that alone, I think, would put her in the Hall of Fame, or should put her in the Hall of Fame, and now she's in, so we can say that. 2007, Hilary Scott won 5 individual XRCOs. Performer of the Year, Best Actress, Super Slut, Orgasmic Analyst, Orgasmic Oralist. Her movie, Corruption, won 2 more. It's never been done before. I honestly don't think it ever will be again. I don't think we're going to see 5 individual awards by any performer. I just don't think it's possible. That's how dominant a performance it was. And I don't think it was close, to be honest. That year, I think it was one of those where, had we been doing podcasts, it would have been ridiculous to pick anybody else. That's how dominant Hilary Scott was. She left rather abruptly. I keep hearing rumblings of maybe a comeback, but honestly, she's got a Hall of Fame career under her belt already, and was very well known for being beautiful, nasty, and for a time, a pretty good actress. If you have not seen Corruption, Bryn Pryor's, I think, best work. He's done some really good stuff, but that one was really, really exceptional. It was a very fucked up movie. And I mean that hats off. It was disturbing and brilliant and well acted and phenomenal. So if you get a chance to find Corruption on DVD, grab it. And marvel at Hillary Scott really sort of taking over and proving that gonzo dirty girls can be great actresses. So congratulations to those three ladies. You're talking about three really beautiful women. So I think that's a nice, strong group. Director is interesting because, well, for lots of reasons, but both entries this time are women, Mason and Joanna Angel. Did some research, and in the XRCO, there are two female directors, or two women who are in the category as director, Candida Royale and Suze Randall. I think most of us think of Suze more as a photographer than a director, but she did direct movies, and she is in, so she is a female director who is in. Candida Royale, of course, was pioneered porn directed by women for women. Now there's lots of it, and I think it all got its roots with what she did way back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. Absolutely deserving. I'm shocked that Veronica Hart is not in as a director. Now, Francesca Leigh is a Hall of Famer, so is Stormy Daniels. Both women are accomplished directors. However, they got put in as actresses, performers. So I did hear somebody argue, no, they count as well, except they weren't nominated that way. In a similar vein, Joanna Angel is now in the Hall of Fame as a director. Should we recognize her separately as a performer? Because honestly, I think her contributions to both are worthy. I think her contributions... Well, let's talk about Joanna in a minute. But there you go. Now there are four female directors in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's pretty amazing. Mason is... well, Suze Randall was not a performer. It would make Mason very rare because she was not a performer. Just a director. And I think that's special. Mason also proved that, you know, women directing porn do not have to make soft, pretty feature stuff. Mason makes hardcore, amazing gonzo, does some really great star showcase work. The women who work for her all love her, or at least the ones that come out have a lot of great things to say about her. So I think this is a really good inclusion. Joanna as a director, I think, is a great inclusion as well. I'm really impressed by Joanna. She's a great performer. She's really cute. She's really hot. She and Burning Angel came from the alt porn period, and you guys know I was not a fan of certain aspects of the alt porn movement, the pretentious bullshit that came along with it. Joanna didn't have any of that. Joanna, the tattooed, multicolored, the sort of punk rock aesthetic that came along with alt, Burning Angel sort of embraced that. They changed music in porn forever and really still have some of the most interesting music in the industry. They shoot girls with a different look. I don't think, for example, you have Bonnie Rotten or Cleo Valentine without Joanna Angel. I just don't think that look gets taken seriously without Joanna Angel kicking the door down and kicking ass. Her movies are well directed. They have a style and an aesthetic that is their own. And Burning Angel is still going strong long after, you know, the geniuses of alt porn have faded away forever. So I think she's a rare sort of triple threat. She could be in there as a performer easily. I think probably should. She's earned her way in as a director. And I think as sort of a company icon, not quite to the level, perhaps, of Hirsch and Ornstein yet, but certainly should be considered in a changing porn landscape. Burning Angel's been around for 10 years, and that's impressive. And, you know. So, big congratulations to Joanna. I think now we do have to wonder, Do we recognize her as a performer next year? Do we turn around now and recognize Stormy Daniels as a director? She's been nominated several times. Important thing to think about. Last two are sort of the internet branch, I guess. Dawn Houston gets in as a member of the Fifth Estate. That's a very small category, really, of people. coughing a little bit here. I am actually not feeling well, as I'm sure you can probably tell. In the Fifth Estate, called the Fifth Estate and Auxiliary Fields, you're talking about some agents, Reb and Jim South, and you're talking about journalistic giants, Al Goldstein, Larry Flint, Mark Kearns, Paul Fishbein. In terms of just straight-up critics, myself and, of course, Den are in, and according to IAFD.com, will be mentioned later, Den is the most prolific, at least in the internet world. I don't know that we can count people who did it in print as easily, but I would venture to guess few of them did 20,000 reviews like Den, or I think 8 or so that Don has done. I'm in the high 7s. Don passed me quite a while ago, and I don't think anyone's ever going to catch him. I don't know that he'll ever catch Den, but I think he is firmly and forever entrenched at 2. So congratulations to Don. Writing mostly for xcritic.com, he's become the face and the name and the voice, really, of the website that is the leading review site in the world. AVN is still AVN, and it has a different set of priorities, but xcritic is sort of home for X-rated critique, and Don is the face of that. he's a champion of things positive in the industry, which I think is much needed. Champion for change as needed, but also, you know, sort of a hold your horses kind of thing. He's not one prone to change just for change's sake, which is nice. And that will come up, by the way. There will be part 4 of this podcast, for those of you wondering if I'm going to touch on some issues. Yes, there's your first hint. And the final award goes to Jeff Vanzetti and IAFD.com. Jeff and IAFD.com Jeff's a personal friend, so you can paint that with whatever brush you want. Looking at the XRCO Hall of Fame, IAFD is the first website really to be mentioned. Den's website is mentioned in his induction, CAVR.com. But I believe that IAFD, and Jeff is the man behind that and has been running it. Peter Van Aarle was put in the Hall of Fame in 2011. And Jeff's been running it ever since. I believe that IAFD.com is probably the most important website ever in terms of adult. I don't think you can make the argument that any other website is as important. It houses hundreds of thousands of performer bios and performer filmographies, directors, performers, actors, movies, web scenes now. It is home for all of the reviews. X-Critic's there. I'm there. Adult DVD Talk is there. I really believe that IAFD is a website that virtually all porn fans use. To be fair, I think you could probably make a pretty good argument for free ones as well. But to me, IAFD is, I think, the most important. And I think it's great that Jeff finally gets recognized. I've been pushing for this for a while. And I'm really happy to see it. So there it is. That's your Hall of Fame class. I think it's a really good one. I think the two female directors, the two pillars of the industry, fantastic. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about AVN's class, though. Because, and I mostly want to look at the video branch of AVN. They put Joanna Angel in. They also included Nikki Benz. And I'm going to go with the people that I think make this the strongest ever. Nikki Benz, Johnny Darko, Dana DeArmond, Nikita Denise, Tommy Gunn, Kimberly Kane, Sasha, Tegan Presley, John Strong, Shyla Styles, Dana Vespoli, and Vicky Vett. That's just a crazy, crazy class that XRCO put in. And I sort of looked at the XRCO class and went, that seems a little light. Now, looking back at, as I just did this podcast, I think we can argue that, no, our class is pretty good. It just, I don't know, I'm blown away by the talent that AVN put in 1 year and why we haven't put in some of these. Because I'm looking now at performers. No Dana Vespoli. No Nikki Benz. So I think we may have missed a few, and that's sort of what I wanted to say, that I do feel this group that we put in is really good and represents the nod to the past that XRCO has always held dear, along with a movement toward the future. And I know you might not think of IAFD and Don Houston and Mason as the future, because so much of what Hall of Fame induction is about is what you've done in the past. But it is a bridge. It's an important bridge that XRCO is crossing in recognizing, and this is going to sound silly, recognizing the importance of the internet. And I know we're 15 years late on that, but I can't stress enough the resistance of some old voices to some of these changes. The resistance that I felt personally, the resistance to Den, the resistance to everybody who is not stuck in 1988. And I think it is very important that we do push forward. And again, consider that foreshadowing to part four. There's going to be a lot of that in part four. So, and taking a look at who might go in later, I want to go back and do sort of all of these categories again. The film pioneers, and I promise I'll try and cut this. We're looking at 20 minutes already. This is going to be a long one. Other company pillars who I think should be considered. Obviously, Vivid and Wicked are the giants in this category. But some of the Gonzo companies also had amazing runs. I think if we were to look in this same category at other people. Now, John Stagliano is already in the Hall of Fame as a film creator director. And if John had nothing to do with the creation and the maintenance of Evil Angel for 20 plus years, his filmmaking resume alone would put him in the Hall of Fame. Okay? So he's in there for that, and he should be. I think we need to look separately, though, at the creation, the formation, the dominance of Evil Angel, and recognize John's contributions there, just as we're doing with Hirsch and Ornstein. And I think similarly, you know, Patrick Collins and Bruce Seven, both of whom are also in the Hall of Fame as directors, similarly with how their contributions to creating what has been a lasting empire. Similarly, Jules Jordan. He's in as a filmmaker. He should be. But Jules Jordan Video is still a dominant player on the market, and I think you need to look there. Other sort of heads of companies, Moose and Dan at Girlfriends Films, they are rapidly becoming a dominant player for long enough that they should be considered. Two people I would like you guys to think about, though, Chris Alexander at Anabolic. And I realize there is no Anabolic right now. It has completely fallen over the years, and I think that's sad. But go back 20 years, and that's unthinkable. Anabolic was a dominant independent force in Gonzo porn. They helped popularize and perfect a system that sadly became rather horrible and watered down, but their commitment to excellence in the, you know, all-sex couch porn genre is unparalleled. One of the first companies to go shoot European talent. The World Sex Tour series, if you get a chance to pick up any of those on DVD, they're really fantastic and ahead of their time. The Gangbang Girl series is still the definitive line in the genre. Nothing's come close to how those were shot and the intensity and the star power. And I think Chris should be, you know, recognized that way. another this we could do a whole podcast on this. We probably should. Rob Black. Rob Black is not in the Hall of Fame as a director. I think you could make the argument that he should be, and he's not in the Hall of Fame as a creator. Like him or not, Extreme Associates was a tornado that hit the industry and changed it and knocked it on its ass. And they shot Gonzo, and they shot features, and they shot some good features, and they gave rise to people like Ivan, who's still doing great stuff, and they gave a voice to Tom Zupko. And along with that comes a lot of other stuff we can talk about another time, but I think that it is time to talk about Rob Black in similar terms. And finally, Max Hardcore. again, not someone that I've had a great relationship with, but I think that his contributions, at least in terms of making movies that people really liked, something we should think about. So that's that category. We did actresses next, so we'll go and do actresses now. Constance Monet was a nod to Golden Era. And I think there's a few... when you look at the film pioneers, see, this is where it crosses over. Because the early actresses, Georgina Spelvin, Marilyn Chambers, Annette Haven, Sharon Kane, Gloria Leonard, Kay Parker, Seika, Veronica Hart, then a lot of those era performers get recognized in the film pioneer. That's where Constance goes in. I'm looking at some others. Lonnie Sanders, Mai Lin, Juliet Anderson, Lisa Thatcher, Abigail Clayton, Candy Barber, Rhonda Jo Petty, Karen Summer. Which category do we put these people in? And it becomes sort of a difficult thing. Okay, so there are two that I want to look at in this category. The first is Gene Silver, who, again, there are certain performers and certain genres that, again, we're going to talk about in number four that are not represented. And disability is something that's not really dealt with in adult movies. You look around now and there's different fetish sites, but as far as a mainstream star with a disability, you can't really think of any. She's it, and she's still such a strong advocate for this industry and a positive advocate, not just for performers with disabilities, but for performers in general. That's the kind of thing that I think we definitely should look at as a group and recognize. Recognize her contributions just on screen. Certainly Constance Monet is deserving. I think so is Gene Silver. Also from a similar time frame, not completely the same, but Raven. Those of you who remember, a thin, dark-haired actress who was not in nearly enough movies, did some Ginger Lynn titles, but did the Taboo American Style series, which was a four-part movie dealing with some very harsh family topics. She was absolutely brilliant in that series. If you've never seen it, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Really, really good. So I think we should take a look at Raven. And then moving forward, Asia Carrera is in the XRCU Hall of Fame as a special, on a special award status, which is fine, great. I guess once you're in, but honestly, that she's not in as an actress performer bugs me a little bit. She's one of the most beautiful women ever in the industry, and also a really good actress, and was a big star. So, I don't know, maybe I'm nitpicking there, but Asia. Also, Christera Barrington is not on the Hall of Fame, and that, I think, is a problem. Her contemporaries are, and I realize a lot of this is if you're available, you know, are we going to nominate someone who's not around? No. I think we probably should, you know? Even though they might not show up to pick up the award. I think Christera Barrington is someone we really need to look at. Also, in addition to Asia Carrera, getting in as a performer. Genteel. Genteel, honestly, take a look, guys. One of the most beautiful women in the history of this business. Brianna Banks is kind of a contemporary. Melissa Hill definitely is. Melissa Hill got in last year. I love Melissa Hill. Her acting performances are fantastic. But I think you need to look at Genteel as someone who should probably be looked at. What about Jennifer Stewart? Jennifer Stewart also not in the Hall of Fame. But Genteel, definitely. And again, sort of picking up on the Rob Black theme, Jasmine St. Clair is not in the Hall of Fame. And that's just wrong. Jasmine got in and was filthy. She did everything. She was totally nasty. Did anal and DP in almost every movie. Did fan gangbangs. When big gangbangs were all the rage, there were some performers who did them who were of moderate attraction status, perhaps we could say. Jasmine was beautiful. She's got an amazing body, beautiful face, great attitude. She did some nice acting work as well, especially for Extreme. Then went on and did wrestling and has sort of gotten out of the industry. She's still around, doesn't really talk much about porn anymore. I follow her on Twitter. She's a good Twitter follow. I don't know if she would show up to get her award or not. And I know she was sometimes a pain in the ass, maybe, to some people. She was always mostly nice to me. And I think we need to recognize her for her contributions as a tremendous, tremendous star. So that's, let's see. So those are my actresses. The other one, of course, who I always recommend is Bridget Monroe. Bridget came on in the late 80s, did some Andrew Blake stuff, was beautiful on par with Raquel Darien, and then came back to recreate herself as one of the first MILFs, one of the first comebacks, really. Came back and reinvented herself doing nastier stuff, and, you know, I think we need to look at that. We need to recognize that because she's pretty awesome. I was around for a while. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a while. Looking at other things, there are movies that are not that are have been inducted, which is great. I definitely think it's time to look at Corruption. Putting Corruption in the Hall of Fame. It's really excellent. Directors. I talked about Rob Black. I firmly believe in Rob Black as a director, being in the Hall of Fame. Tom Byron is in as an actor. He's not in as a director. I think maybe he should be. If we're gonna take the female performers, I like Stormy and Francesca, and put them in, I think maybe you should look at Tommy as a director. He's done a lot of really great stuff. Will Ryder's not in yet. I think Will should probably be considered. Absolutely. Because his contribution, particularly to parodies, but also to other movies and other genres, are outstanding. I think he should be in. But my number one, in terms of director, would be Robbie D. I know that Robbie and Digital were never a big part of the XRCO, even though Jesse Jane has won several awards and is in the Hall of Fame and things like that. But I think you have to take a look at Robbie. I know that June directed Pirates, but Robbie shot it. We all know that. The Celeste movies that were very well received, Robbie shot those. Not taking anything away from Celeste's contributions to them, but Robbie was the guy behind the camera and the vision that was Digital Playground for a lot of years. And he, by company design and I think by personal design, sort of took a back seat when it came to attention and publicity to the stars, to Jesse and to Stoya, to Katsuni, to Janine, to Shea Jordan, to Tegan, to all these great contract stars that they had. By the way, going back to actress, Tegan's not in our Hall of Fame. She should be. Absolutely. But I think Robbie took a back seat for a reason. The company certainly wanted to push contract stars, which is great and fantastic. And I think Robbie's personality was the same way. But he made some great movies. And is still making great movies. We're not hearing as much about Digital Playground, but I think it's time. And I promised Stoya a year ago I was going to write an article on Robbie, and Stoya, I apologize for not having found the time to write an adequate article on Robbie's career. Hopefully, I can write it at a time when he starts a new chapter and really comes back to prominence. But I think it's time that Robbie D be in the Hall of Fame. Again, taking nothing away from the people who got in. These are just people that I think we should also consider. And moving to the last category, because I know we're getting really long on this one. This is way longer than I like to do. But hopefully you're not bored. The next critic? I don't know. The next in line numbers-wise is Astro Knight from Adult DVD Talk. And I think Astro and Bono are two people who should absolutely be considered. Again, when I'm looking at critics, I don't want to just look at numbers, but I think when you look at longevity, and you look at the amount that people do, there's a reason they do that. They found an audience. Their voice reaches somebody. They make a difference. I've always felt that Patrick Riley is a pretty influential adult critic. I know he'll never get in. I don't even know where he is. He did 1,000 and dropped out. He said things that were controversial. He said things that were offensive. He said things that make me tear my hair out. But he made me think. And that's important to me. I always wanted to make people laugh. I still do. I want people to read what I'm doing and realizing that I do take it seriously, but they don't have to. That they should feel relaxed and fun and recognize what they like. Websites, since we did IAFD... I think Adult DVD Talk, they went through some legal issues this year, being attacked. They've been an absolute pillar in the community and very, very positive. And at a time when a lot of prominent people in our industry are absolutely selling out to pirates and to just make the last few dollars available, they're not doing that. They're still fighting the great fight against piracy. They've given voice to a lot of really impressive critics. They've given voice to fans and to performers and have run a website tirelessly for years. I think Adult DVD Talk needs to be considered. I think X-Critic is right there as well. X-Critic, but the argument, I guess, against X-Critic would be AVN is not technically in the Hall of Fame, and I guess it's similar. But again, in the next one, we're going to talk about changes and future, and I think it's time to recognize some of these people who are making great contributions. And as such, honestly, Luke Ford. I know he's very controversial, but the fact of the matter is, when I was starting, he blew the lid off reporting and adult gossip, and now so much of what we take for granted, he kind of kicked the door in on. And I think we need to recognize that and perhaps look at him. So there you go. That's sort of a list of people I think we should consider. I feel very, very strongly about Gene Silver and about Robbie D and about Christera Barrington and about Bridget Monroe and about Gentile and about Rob Black and people who I think should get in, about Jasmine St. Clair. I'll keep fighting. And be positive, but again, to put the focus back, once again, the Hall of Fame class of 2016, Steve Ornstein, Steve Hirsch, Constance Monet, Hillary Scott, Brianna Banks, Mason, Joanna Angel, Jeff Vanzetti, IAFD, Don Houston, tremendous contributions to the adult industry. Some great beauty, some great talent. Just tireless effort. Thank you. Welcome. And congratulations. You've all earned it. And I look forward to seeing as many of you as possible at the show and look forward to listening to some great induction speeches. That's all. I didn't do any plugging. Please visit rodreviews.com for more on this. If you have any comments, leave them down below. Email me if it's on YouTube. Leave a comment. Leave a like if you want. Subscribe to the channel, I guess. I always like the feedback. I know this one's long. Hopefully it's not too long. Part 4. We will do Part 4. I'm committing to it now. I want to talk about the petition. I want to talk about inclusion. I want to talk about moving the XRCO forward. That we will do. I thank you for listening. My name is Roger Pipe, and I hope you enjoyed.